Good morning. Today, as we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, we begin by singing hymn 457, Jesus Christ is Risen Today. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we come into your presence to seek your mercy, hear your word, and offer up to you our prayers and praises. Hear us for the sake of the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and his atoning sacrifice on the cross for our sins. Amen. We read Psalm 98 together in unison. O sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with the harp and the voice of a psalm. with trumpets and sound of cornet, make a joyful noise before the Lord, the King. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands, let the hills be joyful together before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. With righteousness shall he judge the world, and the people with equity. Let us therefore confess our sins unto the Lord our God, and look to him for mercy and forgiveness for the sake of the plenteous redemption accomplished by Jesus Christ, who has redeemed us from all our iniquities. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you in our thoughts, desires, words, and deeds. We therefore plead for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the sake of Jesus' holy life and his atoning sacrifice on the cross, I announce unto you the grace and mercy of God, and in the name and stead of Jesus Christ our Savior, proclaim to you forgiveness for all your sins through faith in Jesus' name. Amen. We confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed, which is found on the back cover of your hymnal. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. We continue by singing the first four verses of I Know That My Redeemer Lives, in 461.
I ask you to please stand for the reading of God's Word. Our scripture lesson for today is recorded in St. John's Gospel in chapter 20, verses 1 through 23. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? What seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then Jesus said to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. You may be seated. We bow our heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this day and the joy of this day as we celebrate the resurrection of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray that we would believe the witness of the apostles, the witness of the scriptures, and believe that our Lord Jesus Christ truly did rise from the dead, and that we would apply that faith to every area of our life and live the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Today again, I remind you of the opening verse of chapter 20, when Mary Magdalene comes early when it was yet dark unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. And this is what we celebrate today, on that first Easter morning. As we read in the other Gospels, Mary and the women came to the tomb. came to the tomb to anoint the body of Jesus, and they were wondering as they came, you know, who's going to roll away the stone for us? But when they got there, they saw that the stone was already rolled away. And when they approached the tomb, they saw angels saying, you know, why are you seeking the living among the dead? He's risen, as he said. Come see the place where he lay. Mary Magdalene apparently had already turned back to tell Peter and John of his resurrection, or of the fact that the tomb was empty, Jesus' body was not there. And Peter and John come to the tomb, see it as Mary described, and they believe her words. Then we see that Mary, standing outside weeping, sees the angel and then sees Jesus, but does not recognize him until he speaks to her. And so she sees the risen Christ. Later in the day, two disciples who left Jerusalem and are walking toward Emmaus suddenly have a stranger walking with them, another traveler, and he explains to them from the scriptures why it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to die and to rise again. And then he makes his true identity known to them in the breaking of bread, and they returned to Jerusalem because they had seen the risen Lord. There in Jerusalem, with the disciples gathered together behind closed doors, Jesus suddenly is standing there in the middle of them. And he shows them his hands and his side. And he shows them that he truly is alive from the dead. And as we read the other accounts in Scripture, we see that he appeared to his disciples numerous times. He appeared to Thomas again with the disciples a week later. And we even see that he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, and St. Paul could write to the Corinthians, you know, if you have any questions, most of these 500 are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. And so there were plenty of people that were witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, to the fact that he was alive again after he had been crucified and dead and laid in the tomb. And so they could go ask, and they could hear, yes, we saw him. He was alive from the dead. And we see that the resurrection of Jesus was attested probably more than almost any other historical fact in ancient history. There are so many witnesses, eyewitnesses to the resurrection of Jesus, so many texts and writings referring to the resurrection of Jesus. And so I ask you today, you know, what about you? Do you believe in the resurrection of Jesus, the bodily resurrection of Jesus? Sad to say, many pastors and teachers today don't even believe in the resurrection of Jesus, not the bodily resurrection. They might speak of a spiritual resurrection in which, you know, he is now living through us who believe in him and we're carrying on his work. But they don't believe that Jesus rose bodily from the dead on the third day. As we read in 1 Corinthians this morning, if you don't believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus, then you're still dead in your sins, because God did not accept his sacrifice for the sins of the world. And so you're still dead in your sins. Being a Christian in this world is not always easy, and especially it wasn't easy in the New Testament times, because the apostles were persecuted and for the most part put to death for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there was no advantage in believing in the resurrection if Jesus did not rise. And so why be a Christian if Jesus did not bodily rise from the dead? But of course, the point that Paul makes is Jesus did rise, and he is the first fruits of those who sleep. In other words, he rose first, and all who trust in him will be raised up to be like him, to live forever with him in heaven. And so I ask, you know, what about you? Are we like Jesus' first disciples who, as it says, were slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken? The scriptures tell us so very plainly, Jesus' own words, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. The scriptures foretold that the Messiah, the Christ, would suffer and die for the sins of the people, and that he would be raised up again. This morning I read in Bible class some passages from Isaiah 53, and they are a beautiful example, because in Isaiah chapter 53, it tells us, beginning at verse 4, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." It speaks of the fact that he was cut off out of the land of the living. "For the transgression of my people was he stricken." And so it speaks of his coming death. He would be cut off out of the land of the living. But it also speaks of his resurrection, because it says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed." So he's going to see his offspring. "He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand, and he shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied, and by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities." And then it speaks of dividing with him the spoils. And so it speaks of Jesus, the Christ, dying for our sins, but it also speaks of him seeing the results of his death on the cross, and dividing the spoils and establishing an everlasting kingdom. And so I ask you today, you know, why do we often live our lives here in this world as though Jesus did not really rise from the dead, that he was still in the tomb in Jerusalem? So often we go about our lives feeling like, you know, God really hasn't or can't forgive us for our sins. We feel that, you know, we still are guilty before God. We bear the guilt, the shame, and we don't take comfort in the fact that when Jesus died on the cross and said it is finished, he had actually atoned for the sins of the world. He had paid the price, and his resurrection is proof of that fact, because if he did not rise, then God would not have accepted his sacrifice. But his resurrection proves that God accepted his sacrifice and raised him from the dead. Romans chapter 4 has so much about being justified and this, but the end of the chapter, I think, is very important to understand, because in Romans chapter 4, after it uses the example of Abraham being justified by faith and David being justified by faith, it asks this question. It says, "And it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him." So, you know, why is this being written? It answers that question. It wasn't just for the sake of Abraham that Paul is writing. After all, Abraham lived generations before. "But for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our for our offenses and was raised again for our justification." And so why was it written that Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness back in Genesis chapter 15? It was written for our sake, so that we would place our faith in Christ, and all who place their faith in Christ would be justified, because he was delivered up for our offenses. He was delivered up to die for our sins. And he was raised again in order that we might be justified through faith in Jesus. And we see that in, as the letter goes on in chapter 5, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And so those who believe on him that raised up our Lord Jesus Christ are justified, and they have forgiveness and life through faith in Jesus. And so why do we live as though God were unwilling to forgive us? Jesus paid the price for our sins. God raised him up. And so we can have confidence that no matter how great our sins are or have been, when we look to Jesus and his cross in faith, God forgives us and accepts us as his own dear children. Why do we live in fear of death and dying? You know, it's, I guess, kind of natural for us not to look forward to dying, not to take a whole lot of comfort in the fact that we have to die. But when we remember that Jesus conquered death for us, he paid the price for our sins, he died, and then he rose again in victory, we have the assurance that we too will be raised up on the last day. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 20 through 23, "Now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Whereas in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming." And so as Christ the first fruits was raised up on the third day, we have the assurance that when Jesus Christ returns on the last day, he will raise us up. And all who trust in him will have his forgiveness and have everlasting life. And so it's true, like Paul writes to the Thessalonians, that, you know, we have no need to sorrow as others have, you know, others who have no hope, because we believe that Jesus died for our sins and rose again. And so we also believe that he's going to come back again, and the trumpet's going to sound, and all the dead will be raised up, and those who have died with faith in Christ will be the first to be raised up, and that we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and we're going to be forever with the Lord. We see that our mortal sinful bodies will be changed into incorruptible heavenly bodies to live forever with our Lord and Savior. And so do we need to be afraid of death? Not at all. If Christ could be raised up after he was crucified, after a spear was thrust into his side, certainly God can raise us up from the dust of death. Why do we live our lives in this world as though this is our home? That might be something to think about, because it's so easy to regard, you know, this is our home and to forget where our true home is. The Bible tells us that our Lord Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Galatians chapter 1. Jesus told his disciples, "In his Father's house are many mansions." He was going to prepare a place for them, and that he was going to come again and take them to be with him where he is. And so our true home is with our Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. As he was raised up, the first fruits, and then ascended to the heaven, we will be raised up and taken to be forever with our Lord Jesus in heaven. And so no matter what happens to our earthly homes, we have an eternal home in heaven that nothing will corrupt or destroy, won't get termites, won't fall apart, won't need to be repainted and all that sort of stuff. It is forever with the Lord. We might wonder, well, why do we live our lives in this world as though we have nothing to be doing while we're waiting for Jesus to come back? Jesus told his disciples, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And when we remember that Jesus said, you know, when he rose from the dead, he told his disciples it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to die and to rise again, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And so we are still entrusted with the task of preaching to people in this world that they should repent or turn from their sins to Jesus and his cross for forgiveness of sins and everlasting life. Jesus, by his death and resurrection on the cross, paid the price he won for all, forgiveness and life. And so we point people to Jesus and say, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." We point them to Jesus and say, "Look to Jesus and his cross, and God will forgive and justify you and accept you and make you a part of his eternal kingdom. That in Jesus you will have eternal life." This is especially important when we remember that there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Only in Jesus is there forgiveness and life. And finally, why do we live our lives in this world as though Jesus is not with us? Perhaps we're strict Calvinists and we believe that Jesus is off somewhere in a sitting on a throne at God's right hand and he's not here, because a human body cannot be in two places at once. And we forget the fact that Jesus is the eternal Son of God who took on human flesh, and that he shared his attributes, his divine attributes, you know, with his human nature, so that Jesus, who's one person, though he is true man, is also true God and is present everywhere. And so when Jesus told his disciples, you know, after he said to be going into all the world and discipling all the nations, or disciple all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them all things that I've commanded you, he also said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world," or to the end of the age. And so our Lord Jesus Christ, who has ascended to the right hand of God the Father in heaven, rules over and fills all things, and he is present with us, and he's working with us and through us. So we need not be afraid, because he's always there, present with us. And he's the one who keeps us in the faith and protects us and keeps us unto life everlasting. And so we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we're really also celebrating our own resurrection from spiritual death and darkness to spiritual light. And on the last day, the raising up of this tired old body to a glorified heavenly body, made to live forever with the Lord. I especially like how St. Paul describes the resurrection. He says, you know, this corruptible will not inherit incorruption, or not be, you know, inherit eternal life, but it's going to be changed into a incorruptible body. This mortal is going to have to be changed into an immortal body. And so it's not like we're going to be raised up on the last day with all the afflictions of this life and all the wear and tear on our bodies, nor with sin and all its inclinations and evil. But we will be raised up on the last day like our Lord Jesus. We'll be holy and righteous, not only outwardly, but in our thoughts and our desires. And we'll be in perfect fellowship, perfect communion with God our Father forever. What a wondrous day that will be. And so we celebrate Jesus' resurrection because everything depends upon it. But we look forward to our resurrection. Because Jesus rose from the dead, we too will rise. God grant us such faith in our Lord Jesus. Amen. We continue our worship by bringing forward our offerings. Thank you.
invite you to please stand and join in prayer. Precious Savior, Jesus Christ, we thank and praise you that by your suffering on the cross, by the suffering on the cross you endured in the very agony, you endured the very agony of hell for us, and that by your death you have made us acceptable unto God. But on this day we especially thank and praise you for your resurrection from the dead, for it proves that you are God's Son and seals your sacrifice as full payment for our sins. O Jesus, may we never cease to praise you with our hearts and lips for all that you have so graciously done for our salvation. Ever-living Lord, as you were raised up and glorified in your body, raise us up by the Spirit from spiritual deadness to trust you with all our hearts and to serve you in godliness all our days. Fill our hearts with joy as we look with longing to the day of your glorious reappearing, when you will raise all the dead from their graves. Comfort us with the knowledge that on that day our vile bodies shall arise in the likeness of your own glorious resurrection body. O Savior, we need you every moment of every day. Be with us and shower upon us your promised grace and blessings. As our exalted prophet, instruct and encourage our hearts with the gospel of forgiveness, and help us grow in our faith and knowledge of salvation. As our exalted high priest, hear us when we pray in your name and intercede at our Father's throne in our behalf. As our exalted king, watch over us day by day, protecting us from all danger, guarding and keeping us from all evil. Preserve us to your heavenly kingdom by granting us daily repentance and renewal of faith. O Jesus, our beloved friend, whose continual presence has been promised us, be at our side in all our troubles. Give us strength to bear them and wisdom to overcome them. Grant us grace to endure every sorrow that comes our way and courage to cope with every disappointment. You are the help of the helpless, who lifts up those who are fallen. Therefore, comfort and relieve us according to our individual needs. As we travel the hard road of suffering and sorrow, may we learn to love you more and eagerly await the treasures you have reserved for us. All this we ask to the glory of your name, O triumphant Christ, who lives and reigns forever. Amen. We join in the prayer which our Lord Jesus has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. We continue our worship by singing hymn 619, Thy Body Given for Me, O Savior.
sorrow fills my soul delight. It finds its only joy in thee. Lord, may thy body and thy blood be for my soul the highest good. Who can condemn me now for sure? The Lord is I who justifies. No hell I fear, and thus secure. Jesus, I to heaven arise. Lord, may thy body and thy blood be for my soul the highest good. O death, they threaten with disaster. It cannot rob me of my cheer. For he who is of death a master, with aid and comfort there is near. Lord, may thy body and thy blood be for my soul the highest good.
I ask you to please stand. I read again the words of institution from St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians. For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Again, I ask you to come forward. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. The Lord bless you and keep you in his baptismal grace. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Now may this holy blood and may this holy body and precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you for Jesus' sake. Amen. We pray. O Lord Jesus Christ, Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, we thank you for fulfilling all righteousness in our stead, and then taking upon yourself the guilt and punishment for all our sins, and making full atonement for us by your perfect sacrifice on the cross. And we thank and praise you for giving us to partake of your one holy sacrifice, that we might also partake of the blessings you won for us by your death, and have made sure to us by your glorious resurrection. Strengthen and keep us in the true and saving faith, and move us to live our lives for you while we await your glorious return and the joys of your everlasting kingdom. Amen. Receive now the benediction of the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. You may be seated. We conclude by singing the last four verses of I Know That My Redeemer Lives, hymn 461.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
As far as announcements, just our next congregational meeting is set for Sunday, April 14th, so a couple of weeks away yet. Any other announcements this morning? Not a blessed Easter to you, and rejoice in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus, and pray for those who don't believe in the resurrection because they're missing everything. So, thank you.